can rewind it. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. We gon' take it back to the future, over the top. E.T. Gremlins, RoboCop. Bring it back a couple minutes to when I was 10. Dusting off my favorite movies, gonna watch them again. Then VHS, yeah, we'll give it a crack. Do they hold up? Are they totally whack? Brock and Alexa, give it a play. Tell you to rewind it, throw it away.
Hello and welcome to You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. This is the show where we watch our favorite movies from our childhood. Then we discuss, dissect, decide, do we still like them? And would we rewind them and watch them again? I'm Alexa.
I am Brock.
We are back.
We're back.
I'm so excited.
Today's movie.
Well, I kind of want to interrupt you and say.
You just did.
We're sorry that we've been gone so long. I feel bad.
We had vacation and.
Yeah. We just had a lot going on in the summer.
Kids getting ready to go back to school.
Yep. So that was the big lead in. The kids go back to school tomorrow, so we're back.
We're back. So the movie will be 1986, rated PG-13, Back to School.
Yeah, it's good because it's just a good way to end the summer.
Well, anytime you can end the summer with a Billy Zabka movie, life is good.
I remember as a kid, once those back to school signs started popping up in the store, it was like, oh no. Soda.
And back then, you didn't do back to school 2 months before school started.
That's true. It was right before.
Yeah,
it was
a couple weeks before probably. Mm-hmm. But it was so depressing. Mm-hmm. And the most depressing day was that last day of summer.
Mm-hmm. Which was usually about this time. We always went back right after Labor Day.
Yeah, our daughters are starting school late. Because of some school building.
Yeah, construction stuff. They've been out, or they've had a super long summer. So.
So one of us is ready for the kids to go back, and I'm good either way.
Yeah, it's time for them to go back. So we thought, what better way than to celebrate with Rodney Dangerfield? Just got off movie, was a couple episodes ago.
Ladybugs
with him, and he was in Caddyshack, so seems like.
Rodney Dangerfield kick.
Right.
So a synopsis for this movie. To help his discouraged son get through college, a fun-loving and obnoxious rich businessman decides to enter the school as a student himself.
Yeah. I feel like with Rodney, you know what you're going to get.
Okay.
His character, what would you say? They're not very diverse from each other.
Okay. That's the problem. If you watch... You know, Steve Martin, John Candy, some other stand-up comedians, or comedians, not necessarily stand-up, but they're playing a character. When you watch Rodney Dangerfield, you're watching Rodney Dangerfield. Mm-hmm. At no point did I think, oh, there's Thornton Mellon. The whole time, it's Rodney Dangerfield. Mm-hmm. He cannot escape into a character because it's just his shtick.
I think it's okay, though.
I'm okay with his... Yeah. Although, in this day and age, it seems like... When you were a kid and you would hear like the 1940s and 50s comedians, you know, like, take my wife, please, you know, it was so aged and you would think, God, so archaic sounding. That's kind of how I feel about Dangerfield. I love him because he was a comedian when I was a kid. He did Ladybugs, Caddyshack, he's funny. But it seems like a very old shtick. Like, it wouldn't work today if someone tried to bring back that, I get no respect, no respect. No one's going to be like, oh my God, he's genius.
Well, and it seemed like back then there were more of those types, too. Like, kind you had the earnest sticky. Character. You
yeah,
had,
kind of a shtick.
What's his name? Son-in-law.
Oh, Pauly Shore, the Wheeze.
Yeah, so you had him. Like, you had these characters that would come into movies and be, like, the same... person each time, and I was trying to think of a modern day version of that, and I really can't think of one right now, but maybe one will come to me. But yeah, that's a pretty good synopsis for the movie. And actually, I saw a movie this summer with Melissa McCarthy called Life of the Party, which is
did not see it.
Yeah, which is kind of like, you know, where the mom is going back to school with her daughter. So I mean,
kind of the same movie in a way. Maybe not going back as a, a rich mother. Like, he's going back as a rich man.
Yeah, no diving. No. It was different, but it was kind of reminded me of the same. So, I might bring up similarities later. I don't know. Who's in this movie, my darling?
So, obviously, you got Thornton Mallon, played by Rodney Dangerfield.
Strange name.
Yes. You have his son, Jason Mallon, who's played by Keith Gordon. He's a producer, writer, director, does more directing now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, has he been in anything else? Because I don't remember him.
Well, you have the love interest of Thornton, Dr. Diane Turner.
Oh.
And I was like, you know, I know her. And she was in MASH, the movie. She was Hot Lips in the movie.
Oh.
And she just seems like I've seen her in 1,000, like, PBS shows in the 80s, but when I looked up her resume, not much I knew.
You watched 1,000 PBS shows in the 80s?
They all just kind of run together and seem like the same one.
Okay.
So, no, I did not. you have Lou, my favorite, mm-hmm. played by Burt Young. And you know Burt Young from what movie?
Oh. I don't remember now.
He was in Rocky.
Oh, yes.
He's Uncle Polly.
Yes. Oh, yes. Uncle Polly.
So,
yeah, if you haven't heard our Rocky IV podcast, I'll tell you, it was one of our beginning podcasts, but I still really like it. Like, we were still getting our feet wet. Like, that was one of the very first ones we recorded.
And it was a podcast on a movie I loved.
Yes.
I loved Rocky IV.
So check it out.
So how old was Lou Burt Young in this movie?
He's 60.
46 in this movie.
Nuh-uh.
He was 45 in Rocky IV.
Liar.
He has 162 acting credits to his name.
Oh my God.
And he's still acting today. Like, that guy is awesome.
Yeah. No, he was funny.
Even though I know it's not Thornton Mallon, it's Rodney Dangerfield, I still care.
Mm-hmm.
I loved how Lou was protective and loyal. And, you know, when that frat dude was trying to start some stuff and he's like, you got a problem? He's like, oh, I don't got a problem, but my buddy here has got a problem.
Yeah, it's awesome. No, I liked him. I can't believe he was 40. Like, I can't even believe that.
No.
Nope.
And then you got to mention Derek Lutz, which is Thornton's son's best friend. It's Jason's best friend.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, really weird role for him.
It almost is like the Weird Science character if he got a little softer and went to college.
Mm.
Where he was that cocky, arrogant D-bag of the 80s, but he wore those crazy clothes.
Yes.
He's now gone to college. He's a little bit softer. Same character.
Yeah. It was weird to see the friendship of those two. Like, it didn't seem like it fit.
No, it just seemed like Jason was accepting and...
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Wasn't judgmental of how crazy Derek was. He's just a good mm-hmm. guy. And I'll be honest with you, nothing against Keith Gordon. The character of Jason Mellon is just kind of boring. And mm-hmm. He's Eeyore. He's the Eeyore of the movie.
He's just a polar opposite. Maybe that's why he's like a polar opposite of the dad. He's nothing like his dad, and maybe that's what they're trying to show.
And not to offend anyone out there who loves this show, it reminds me of the main character from How I Met Your Mother. Just a morose, just look at me, I'm David Schwimmer all over again. It's just pathetically sad. It's Eeyore. That's who weird, wants to hang out with Eeyore?
Did you like that show?
What show?
How I Met Your Mother.
I used to. Yeah. But not because of him. I loved it because of Doogie.
Okay.
Doogie Howser's genius.
Well, yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris is the man, not because of the Eeyore character. So, you then have to mention Coach Turnbull, played by M. Emmett Walsh from Fletch, My Best Friend's Wedding, Harry and the Hendersons, and The Jerk.
Yeah.
And one more I got to mention. Besides Billy Zabka. I got to throw Billy Zabka. Chaz. I was
gonna say, there's no way you're going to get...
I've always said the douchiest name I ever heard was Chaz. And I never knew why. It just sounded like a rich, popular... That's Billy Zabka's character. That's why I've always thought of Chaz.
Oh.
The first cologne I ever got...
He's ruined it, Chaz, for you.
The first cologne I ever got from a drugstore in like 86, 85 was Chaz. Of course, it was like $1.50 from Eckerd Drug, but... That name always reminds me of a rich kid. Well, that's Billy Zabka, who was in, I don't know, Karate Kid, Karate Kid 2, Cobra Kai. Also, National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Mm-hmm. Where he plays the boyfriend. And another great podcast.
Just want to throw out the Dean. Dean David Martin. Played by Ned Beatty. The Dean. Mm-hmm. Obviously in Deliverance. Story 3. He was Lotso. And he was in The Toy. But the one I have to... The last one I wanted to mention was Professor Turgeson. Played by Sam Kinison. Rodney Dangerfield is known for helping young comedians come along. So he really fought to get Kinison this role. Mm. Originally, this role was written for Bob Saget.
Really?
Yeah, because he was friends with Dangerfield. But Dangerfield didn't think he was edgy enough or like shocking enough. So that's why he really pushed for Kinison. I loved Sam Kinison back in the day. Mm. Watching it now, it's definitely comedy of that time period.
Mm-hmm.
But still funny to me. Sam Kinison is still funny.
I liked his role in this movie.
Well, Sam Kinison, this was probably his biggest role, obviously. He died in 92.
Mm.
Okay, he was a hard drinker. He was a hard partier. And I guess he had kind of given up that life and was trying to get his life on track. And he was killed by a drunk driver at 38 years old.
Oh, that's terrible.
So just to scare you, though, he was 32 in this movie playing the professor.
Mm.
Does he look 32?
No. No, absolutely not.
So back to the movie, the premise. You got Thornton Mellon is going to go back to school where his son is enrolled. And... of course, his son is totally against it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get real. He's not going to take it serious.
You know what? At first, I did not think he was totally against it. He was way more accepting than I think.
Than you would have been?
Than most people, I think, would be. Because I felt like, and I even noted that he was embracing his dad being there. And even, I don't know, at one point he's like, "You're a melon." Like... I wrote that down because that line cracked me up. But I thought he was pretty accepting. Like, okay, dad's at college. It wasn't until he started all his shenanigans, I think, that he started really irritating him.
So I thought he was upset with the fact that Thornton wasn't going to take it serious. If he's got a paper on Kurt Vonnegut, the works of Kurt Vonnegut, he hires Kurt Vonnegut to come do the paper.
He didn't do that right away, though. Right away, he looked like he was just going to be a regular student. The next thing you know, he set up a whole corporation to do all the schoolwork.
Yeah, you're right. But I want to say, not believable on just one area.
Oh my gosh, really?
Hang on. Stay with me here.
Okay.
He goes into the bookstore and says, "It's all on me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how rich you are. There's no way you can afford that at a college bookstore.
Cannot afford to pay for that many people's
books." You see that health book that costs $1.75 to make?
Yeah.
$260. That can be yours. Oh, it's used. $245.
I think that was a big shock when I went to college. Just...
oh my God, yes.
The amount that you pay for the books.
And then how insulting when they're like, "We're going to buy it back from you." Yeah, I know you spent $86 on this book,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to get $750 back. You're welcome.
I know.
Oh, then I'm going to turn around and resell it for $72 next year. What a scam.
It just seems like a huge scam. But I wanted to mention the very beginning of the movie, you see the young Rodney, played by the brother from the Wonder Years.
Yes.
Jason
Hurley,
yes. And I'm like, every time I see him, I can't help but think about
Battle of the Network Stars
when he wouldn't wear the team shirt. Just what a jerk he was.
It's really made an impression on you.
Yeah, it's like, why won't you just wear the shirt? Oh, red's not your color. Oh, okay.
Red's not my color. Oh, you in a gang?
I prefer to wear black.
Sorry, Jason Hurley.
Yeah, so he was in the movie at the very beginning. And I don't even think that part needed to be in there. Why did you have to see the young...
completely unnecessary.
Maybe... I don't even know. I can't even defend why that part was in there, but it was. He shows up at the school. Before he even finds the kid, he's looking for him. He's asking people. They don't know who he is. He finds out... he thought his son was doing diving. I guess the son told him he was doing diving, and technically
he
lied to him. He didn't make
the
team.
He was a towel boy.
Yeah, and... he starts harassing the kids at college looking for him. And then you have classic 80s shower scene.
Well, you have to.
Thrown in. And I just put cheap boob shots.
I don't know how cheap they were, babe. I didn't find them cheap.
Yeah, well.
Look, anytime you can watch a PG-13 movie with knockers, that's a win that's for everyone.
So dumb. Who would go into a sorority house looking for your kid and then just open the shower on anyone?
Oh, yeah. Just randomly open shower curtains. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you naked? My bad. Let me keep going on this search.
I just think that maybe at the time they were like, well, we got to throw in this somehow.
Dude, that actually gets you arrested.
Oh, yeah. He should have been arrested big time for that. No. I noted it about a denim jacket. I don't know. I don't even know who was wearing it. But when I see them, I just think, awesome.
You just got our daughter a denim jacket.
I did. They both have a denim vest. And I have a denim jacket.
I think Brock needs a Levi jean jacket.
I don't know. Are men wearing it again?
Brock's not. Does that count for anything?
I know that Brock likes to be at the top of fashion.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. When I go into a store with him, I'm like, whatever's like hot right now, that's what he needs to be in.
Last time we went in, they were like, we don't make skinny jeans that will do justice enough to that man's beautiful form.
I took you into, was it H&M? What was that store H&M. That you... You can't wear any, and you're not like a huge guy, but you could not wear their clothes.
No. Those are not skinny jeans. Those are no leg jeans.
And you're not used to people checking on you in the dressing room.
You doing all right there, sir? Let me just peek in on, oh, you're in your underwear. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to H&M.
That was just a really fun experience.
For you, yes it was.
Mm-hmm. I think I might get you a denim jacket, actually.
Rocking the denim jacket.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to diving.
Okay. Does Ronnie Dangerfield look like a diver to you? Does he have a diver's body? I watched the last Olympics and I didn't see a 68-year-old man that weighs 350 pounds, but only from his chest to his waist because everything else is bone thin.
Were you disappointed they didn't put him in a Speedo?
Yes.
That he was wearing
glasses. That would have been the most horrific thing ever. I wish I could have seen that.
Have you ever put on a Speedo?
No.
Would you?
No.
Not you in it?
No.
Oh, darn.
Are you out of your mind? No one needs to see Brock's thunder.
Yeah. I just kind of think it'd be fun to see.
Especially if the water's cold.
You miss the days of the... I think divers in the Olympics, they still wear the Speedo.
I think so.
It's the swimmers that wear the suit now.
Those little... The pants. Yeah, they're like sliding shorts almost.
Yeah.
So, the diving.
Okay.
So, did his son make the team because of him?
Yeah, I think so. I think he just... Well, I think he convinced the coach to give a second look at his son. I think he had... Maybe he had a bad tryout.
Yeah. Watch my son do one more dive. Yep, that'll put him on the team.
Or maybe the team was struggling and the coach thought, why not? Or maybe...
It just seemed like it's because Thornton is a famous diver and he's rich and he's giving money to the school. And sure, we'll let your son, Jason. Come on, Jason, you morose... I mean, sorry, he's just a sad character.
Mm.
How about some enthusiasm, all right? You're in college, you're diving, you got a rich father. Life's not that bad. Okay, let's go to the love interest. Okay. So, Dr. Diane Turner... And Thornton Mellon. Yeah, I see them becoming a couple. This very elegant, pretty lady. And Rodney Dangerfield. In full Rodney Dangerfield mode. Yes, that's a great couple.
I think she liked his...
Honesty and bluntness. And,
yeah, I think she appreciated that. And I'm sorry, but her other boyfriend...
Philip Barbe.
Philip was a little bit...
Hello, Philip.
Was a little bit boring.
So was she. I'm sorry, I don't get excited from let me read poetry. No, you didn't even write that. So you're just reading someone else's words trying to act like it means so much to you. Although I did like...
I wrote down that I was going to mesmerize you with poetry, so now I know it's not going to work unless I've written
it. You like poetry? Maybe you can help me straighten out my Longfellow. That was in the movie.
It was?
Yes.
I was like, did you just make that up?
No, that was from Bubbles. What's your favorite class?
Poetry.
Really? Maybe you can help me straighten my Longfellow.
I'm sad now that I know that I can't mesmerize you with it.
No, that's never really spoke to me.
You seem a little angry this morning. Okay, so I was going to say, I really appreciated that they gave him a love interest that was his age. I
totally agree.
I was worried they might go the other direction.
Of course, he ends up trying to throw it all away by getting in the hot tub with some co-eds.
Yeah, hopefully that's all as far as it's going to go.
Insinuating some naughty stuff was going on when she walked in.
Yeah, but I was happy to see, like, that he wasn't trying to hook up with students that much.
And let me throw something out here. To all our listeners, not trying to be offensive, just do not ever get nude and do anything sexual in a hot tub. Unless it's your own personal hot tub and you have no kids. Well, that's another thing that's creepy, is to know people are like fooling around their hot tubs and like 2 hours later their kids are swimming in that hot tub.
Can I just say something about the hot tub?
Yeah, say something about the hot tub.
I will say that my friends and I got in the hot tub a lot. And then all of a sudden they wanted to build this gazebo around the hot tub, which I thought was totally lame. Because the fun of being in the hot tub is, like, you're out.
Yeah, letting the neighbors see your mom and dad doing the
Tub. I didn't know that's why they just wanted, like, privacy, I guess, in there. So then we had this stupid gazebo that they built around it. And then when I was like, why would they need privacy? And then I was like, gross.
You're just swimming in a Petri dish.
I need to go back because he makes his dorm, they knock down walls and they make a dorm suite. Like,
yes, it was a beautiful room.
I don't even know how many, like, that's not the typical college life. You're in a tiny room with furniture from the 60s and...
Yeah, actually probably today it's furniture from the 80s. Yeah, we're a little older.
Yeah, we had... in my dorm room, in the shower, we had suites and so we had, like, a shower in between... Our shower was made to, like, hit you, like, right in the chest because, like, when it was made, women didn't wash their hair every day. They didn't wash their hair probably once a week so they could set it and do all that stuff. So in order to, like, wash your hair, you had to stick your head way down to get to get under the shower head because it was not over your head.
That is so odd.
Yeah, it was weird, right?
So my dorm was newer than yours.
Yeah. Of course. Oh, ow.
Did you just get a cramp?
Yes.
Podcasting is brutal. We got our first podcast industry.
Podcasting. Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
Who gets a cramp? Podcast.
I don't know.
I'm a first responder. Should I help you?
Yeah. My name's Brock. I'm a first responder.
We got to hire a trainer for the podcast.
Yeah, I'm okay. All right, moving on. Oh, my gosh.
So, Miss Diane Turner had a house that I knew when I saw it. I'm like, I've seen this house. Mm. Don't know if I really had. I know what it is now. It's the house from Halloween where Jamie Lee Curtis, it's the Doyle house where she babysits. And I don't know if that's how I knew it, but I knew when I saw the house, I was like, I know that house. So, yes. That's why I know that house.
Wild.
Is from Halloween, of course. And where Thornton Mellon does his 3-hour oral exam.
Mm-hmm.
That was used in a movie called Flashdance, where a lady did an audition in that room.
Wow. Yeah, I know that audition.
So I want to just mention this movie. You've got all these people in it. Ned Beatty, Sam Kinison. This is a Rodney Dangerfield movie. Correct? Do you like Rodney Dangerfield? Is he someone you find, or did, or now? Do you
I
find
think
humorous?
I did, and I think now, yeah, I mean...
Maybe in small some doses. Funny,
I think he has some
He's great with one-liners.
Funny lines.
Great with one-liners.
Yeah, some of his lines are really good, and he is who he is. He's not going to try to be someone he's not. In this movie, he is this businessman, and he has a store called the, instead of like Big and Tall, it's called the Tall and Fat Store.
Melons.
Speaking of tall.
Yes.
The love interest of the son.
Yes.
Is taller than him.
Oh my gosh.
Which
okay.
is fine. Which
Valerie Desmond played by Terry Farrell. She was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine and one of my favorite movies, Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth. Love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Never seen that.
I can't believe you haven't seen that.
No.
But yes, she was so much taller than him.
It was strange, and that's not to say that that's a bad thing. Like, it's no. You just don't see it in movies. Their kiss seemed a little awkward.
Just a wee bit. But then the movie starts to move into the direction of coming down to the big diving contest, and does Thornton Mellon deserve to be at the college?
Yeah, because come to find out,
He should never been accepted.
Well, number one, he shouldn't be accepted. Number two, he's set up like a whole...
He's cheated.
Yeah, he's cheated.
Completely cheated on everything.
People are writing his papers. People are taking his tests.
He's like hired freaking NASA to help him out here.
Right, right. So...
So, of course, to be used later in a movie called Billy Madison, he's going to go through a 3-hour oral exam to show that he's
learned... Oh, really? That was in Billy Madison?
If you remember Billy Madison, he's got to repeat all the grades in like 2 weeks per grade and... In the end, he takes a master test.
Okay, okay.
So...
He does study montage.
Because even Rocky had a montage.
Yep.
So it starts to wrap up with the test, which, of course, he does amazing at the test. And he has all the answers. And you get to see the diving contest, finally. And they need a diver. Because anytime you need an alternate in diving... Mm-hmm. Or any sport. You just go right to the crowd.
Yeah. So our daughter did swim team.
Yeah, that, it didn't look like that diving.
Well, I was going to say, we could share stories from that, but we'll save those for another time. But they would do diving before the meet started. You would need to, I'm going to say it in a mean way, sit through diving.
Middle school diving. 11, 12, and 13-year-olds trying to do some type of dive. Really? I didn't know a jump toothpick was an actual dive. Yeah,
very boring dives.
Difficulty of a 1.1. It's a cannonball.
And you had to be completely quiet. That's why it's so ridiculous that they had an air horn at this contest.
That's acceptable.
They had, they blinded a diver with a mirror. And yeah, that's a little bit different than the diving contest.
By the way. Not funny when you're on a high dive and you make a guy fall off to his possible death by blinding him with a mirror.
And then at one point, the guy threw the dive and like did a belly flop on purpose.
Yes.
Ugh, who would do that?
It's painful. A sadist.
That's painful.
But then comes the pinnacle of the movie.
Yes.
What everyone likes to remember about this movie.
Why wouldn't you remember it?
The triple Lindy. Mm-hmm. Because they need an alternate diver, so we call Thornton Mellon out of the crowd.
Well, he's known for the triple Lindy.
Oh, yeah. He puts on his 1937 swimsuit. Because that's going to be way better for diving.
Yes. Way better.
He goes off the diving board. Into the water? Oh, no. No. Onto a lower diving board. Lands on that. Flips off that to land... In the water? No. Still on another diving board. I just don't know how realistic that dive was. Thank God that movie didn't come out today.
No.
I tried to do a 2.5 and land on another diving board, but I didn't land it right.
Well, they can't do that because there's no diving boards at the pools anymore. That was like a standard at the pools I went to. There was always... At least a low dive, but a lot of pools, there was a high dive, yes. And that was part of the fun of going.
That high platform that I was always scared out of my mind to go up.
It seems like the pools I went to, it was never as high as the high platform, but it was high and it was the bouncy one, which is scarier, actually, because you get on there and it's not stable.
Ours was probably like a 3-meter, but there was some pools that had the actual high dive. Mm-hmm.
Olympic?
I don't know if it was Olympic. I mean, as a child especially, it looked like it was 50 feet in air.
I've been off the Olympic one before. Jumping.
Look at
diving.
You. You're amazing.
It was terrifying.
See, I went off. I did a back 2.5.
I wanted to wimp out when I got up there. But
I did wimp out.
I'm doing this. So I jumped off and it was pretty scary.
No, I went up on the high dive, is what we called it, one time. And I wanted to come back down. Uh-oh. I was scared out of my mind. And I don't remember if I actually was crying when I actually jumped off. Or if I just started on the way down.
Aww.
But it was horrifying, and I don't think I even hit it when I got out of the pool. I was still crying at like 8 years old. I just was so horrified.
Did you ever do that thing where you just run off the end and then you keep try running. To keep running? Yes. Oh, that was the most fun ever. I love that. That was so much fun. I would totally do that again if I could.
Sadly enough, I can see you doing that.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Of course, the movie wraps up. Everyone's happy. Thornton Mellon's the man.
Triple Indy.
His son, Eeyore, is going to stay in school and join the diving team with his tall-ass girlfriend.
And Zabka. You know what? He was not that much of a villain.
Okay, so here's the deal. Zabka tried to play this part. This movie is where he realized, I could be typecast as a villain. So he was trying to play it way more comedic. A lot of that got cut out, and the director actually told him, like, I need you more like Johnny Lawrence from Karate Kid. Don't be so nice. You're being too nice.
He definitely was nicer.
But you know he was typecast. I mean, yeah. This is when you see Billy Zabka, no one thinks about his later movies. You think he is Johnny Lawrence or he is, is his name? Chaz. The rich boy, Chaz.
I never think of him as Chaz. I'm sorry.
He's Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah, he's Johnny. He's totally Johnny.
So...
You know what I was going to say about the Lindy? Because yes. This came up in Cutting Edge, our Cutting Edge podcast that we did. Is, you know, you have the Pumchenko.
Yes.
Which you don't even get to see what it is, really.
Because it's not even
right.
A feasible move.
This one, they actually did try to show you that it could somehow work. Like, they tried it. And you brought this up, and I had forgotten. I'm like, oh, is that... In fact, in the podcast, I even say... Oh, is that not a dive you can do? And you were like,
so,
and
then you reminded
me. It's absolutely not.
I'm going to do like 4 flips off the high dive, land on like the 5-meter platform, land it so smoothly that I can turn that into 3 more flips and land on the low dive.
Oh, I also wrote down about the triple Indy. How do you score it? How do you score it based on...
You the don't. Difficulty. It's not a. There's no difficulty level. It'd be impossible. So if they're like the highest difficulty level is a 3.2, he gets a 456,000. I mean, that's impossible.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
So did the budget for this movie was $11 million?
Yep.
Do you think it did well?
I do. I'm gonna say it did. It did $30 million.
It did $91 million.
What?
This was the 6th highest grossing movie of 1986. It's the amazing. 2nd highest grossing comedy of 1986. Is that not crazy?
Rodney Dangerfield's a huge draw, though.
Yeah, oh, this was all him. I mean, you watched this for Dangerfield. No one watched it for Eeyore. Although some young people like Brock maybe watched it for Billy Zabka, because that was my hero.
That's great, babe.
I couldn't be as cool as Billy.
Never. All right, you ready to do this?
I am ready to do this.
All right, go for it.
Oh, I get to go first? Yep. Oh, crud.
Putting you on the spot.
Okay. Again, I struggle with, you are not watching Thornton Mellon. You are watching Rodney Dangerfield. And this is a pure Rodney Dangerfield vehicle. But it's a funny movie. And when you see things like he has Kurt Vonnegut write a paper on his own works, and the teacher or the professor gets upset and is like, you didn't write this, and whoever wrote this doesn't know the first thing about Vonnegut. What was Vonnegut? Like, that funny, clever, big-time actors in this with Ned Beatty and you know, Robert Downey Jr. and Emmett Walsh. I'm really struggling with whether or not to give this movie a rewind, because I really, really enjoyed it. But it's about holding up. And you're talking about a comedian with old kind of shticky type comedy. He's no different in this movie than he is in Meet Wally Sparks or in Caddyshack or even Ladybugs. It's just another extension of his comedy. So I'm struggling. I've been struggling since we've seen the movie. But I am going to have to say, maybe it's because I'm angry Brock this morning, but I'm not going to rewind back to school.
You are a little angry this morning.
I do want to rewind the Triple Lindy.
You'd watch that over and over.
Oh my gosh, yes. And if that ever appears in the Olympics, I hope I'm still alive.
All right. Well, I enjoyed the movie, and I think maybe I must like Rodney Dangerfield more than I thought, because I did rewind Ladybugs.
Yeah.
Which was also ridiculous.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I feel like I am liking these ridiculous comedies. Now, be aware if you're going to show this to your kids, there is nudity in it, even though it says
PG. Knockers!
PG. Hush. Even though it says it is PG-13, there is nudity. But other than that, there's nothing weird in it. Nothing inappropriate in it. It's funny. It's fun. It's an interesting concept. Totally ridiculous. But I don't know. Maybe because I am not angry this morning, I am going to give this a rewind and say, watch it.
One man high five?
There is no substitute for the triple lint. Whoever thought of that...
Genius.
...was either high or just a genius.
Or both. High genius.
It's just nuts. So, I'm just going to give it a rewind. Why not?
Wow. So, rewind. One non-rewind. Back to school.
We're so happy to be back doing You Can Rewind It. We've got a list of movies that we're super excited about, and I am excited for.
Y'all might not be happy we're back, but we are.
I want to take care of some love to some fellow podcasters. I have a promo for a podcast called For Better or Worse, where it's also a couple forcing each other to watch movies. They both like different types of movies, so they watch movies for each other, maybe that the other one wouldn't normally watch.
Great premise. Great premise. Great podcast.
Very likable couple.
Check it out.
Hello, everybody. This is Jason.
And Aaron.
And we are the hosts of the For Better or Worse podcast. Like most couples, we have pretty different tastes.
There's a lot of things we agree on, of course, but it can be pretty difficult to find something to watch at the end of the day.
She likes comedies, love stories, and dramas.
And he likes anime, horror, sci-fi, and fantasy.
So we both thought it would be fun to force each other to watch our favorite movies, shows, or anything else we can think of, and record it here for you guys.
The show is a lot of fun, and it's not always torture. Sometimes we actually come around to each other's side.
We would love for you guys to give us a shot. So download For Better or Worse anywhere you listen to your favorite shows and join us in the fun.
We can't wait to share our experiences with you.
All right, well, that has been another episode of You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. Go to our Facebook page and give it a like. We're also on Instagram. I haven't been very good about updating that, but I am going to turn the page and start posting on Instagram.
Ooh.
So I say.
Sounds like a threat.
Twitter, You Can Rewind It. And Gmail, You Can Rewind It at gmail.com.
Huh. Social media, huh? Yeah. We're really rocking it.
And remember, just because you can rewind it doesn't mean you should.
Thanks for listening. Hey, babe.
Yeah.
You got hurt. Who gets injured during a podcast? Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't want to hear about how I'm out of shape anymore. My leg, oh my God, oh my leg. I don't know what's happening.
Is that really hurt?
It's a cramp. I know it hurts, but you scared the crap out of me. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind. Rewind. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. 4, 3, 2.